for 11, and welcome Ms. Benedict. This is the Ralph N. Kleps Award for Improvement in the Administration of the Courts. These are profiles of the recipients of the 10-11 cycle.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the Council. I'm delighted to be here at this time, and I'm sure you are, too. You know, the last time I brought Kleps before you, I was the last guy on the agenda, and I was beginning to think you were going to really give me the hook. But
best for last.
Thank you. This is a feel-good item, I hope. At least it certainly made me feel good to participate in the Kleps program. At your April 29th business meeting, as you recall, you approved the committee's recommendations for the 2010-11 recipients for the awards. And we had seven programs which were approved, covering a broad range of court administration. Some of these provide direct, comprehensive services to vulnerable and unique populations. Other programs adapted private industry technology to automate and improve the efficiencies of the courts, and that's an important aspect. While other courts made significant improvements in how cases were managed, reviewed, evaluated, and decided. Now, this year, as we did last time, in order to minimize expenses and to make a most cost-effective use of our court's time and staff resources, we had local ceremonies at each recipient's court during July and August. And I might say that these were really wonderful because not only could the big shots from each court who normally get these awards be present, but all the working people who did these projects were able to share in the accolades from the council. And they were really wonderful. And each one started out, Chief, with your personalized letter, which you wrote to each of the recipients. They were read out loud and personally presented to the representative of the court, and that was very meaningful and greatly appreciated. Each ceremony included representatives from AOC, Bill and Ron, and local judicial council members attended, and I'd like to thank Judge Smith, who attended the Alameda, of Alameda, who attended the Contra Costa ceremony. Judge Moss and Mr. Miliband attended the Orange County, which ran two this time. Justice Baxter attended the ceremonies for the Court of Appeal in Fresno and the Superior Court at Fresno and Stanislaus and the Court of Appeals Collaborative Project. Judge Davis attended in San Bernardino and Judge Jackson in Monterey County. And I know that these events gave each of those participating an opportunity to learn more about the programs and a chance to meet and acknowledge the many dedicated judges, judicial officers, court management, and staff, as well as justice partners that were involved in some of these. Now, at the time of the ceremonies, there was a rather in-depth profile prepared by the Education Division, a video for each of the programs, which were shown to the ceremonies, and they're now posted on the website. But we have now prepared for you an abridged look at the videos. So if we could ask them to roll the video of the seven remarkable programs which the council honored in April.
The grand jury is constituted once a year. It's mandated by law that we have them. And essentially what they are is sort of a public interest group that can investigate local government. Some people refer to them as sort of a watchdog organization.
Our court would send out approximately 10,000 invitations to citizens, inviting them to apply. It was a paper process. 10,000 letters went out in the mail.
So the idea was this might be easier if we could just put this online, because if we can gather even more information, we can collate the information easier, we can access it, and we can even use it for more things later than just what the rule of court is requiring of us.
The jury commissioner's office actually approached IT with the idea of creating some kind of automated database where we could capture the demographic information in a way that would allow us then to populate that information and also to be able to analyze that information to look at trends that might assist us in our future recruitment processes.
The idea started as providing the demographic information. What it turned into for the court was a time-saving way to efficiently recruit, impanel, and manage the civil grand jury process.
The technical term is this automated mail processing information system for mail payments that come into the court. We call it the magic money machine. What the system does is it processes thousands of mail payments every day versus clerks having to do it. There's four clerks that monitor and work the system, but it is an automatic mail system.
The need for the project was because of the amount of mail payments that we processed. The whole goal was to process mail payments more efficiently and at less cost.
We used to have 11 court locations with 17 clerks processing these mail payments. Now they're all centralized in one location, four clerks monitoring it, one machine, one location.
It's about 1,000 payments a day that are being processed through the machine. I can tell you that on a yearly basis in 2010 alone, it represented $22.7 million in receipts for the court.
This machine does everything. It opens an envelope, it runs it through the machine, it tracks it, it counts it, it applies it to the case.
We can process 15% of the total receipts of the court with just four people.
It meets our audit concerns. There's a good audit trail, and there's people that monitor the payments that go through the machines, yet they don't need to be done at all court locations. The timeliness and the money savings is substantial. We have been contacted by other courts, and they have asked if we would process some of their payments, some of the smaller courts.
They could possibly have their payments sent to us and have us process, and we'll see how that works out.
What has happened is the clerks have been reallocated and reassigned to provide better access to the courts. They process the work outside the mail. They do the courtroom work. They do the filings. They serve the public. So we've been able to reallocate resources towards that end.
Elder Court in Contra Costa County brings together all of the types of cases that relate to the seniors. Criminal cases, civil cases, conservatorships, restraining orders, evidentiary hearings, and trials that relate to a senior. And we bring them all together so that we can resolve all of their cases in as few court appearances as possible.
We identified three specific focuses when we started thinking about developing an elder court. One was the need to educate our community on the issues that are facing our elder community. The other was to provide resources and support so that when our elders come into court, they have the proper legal help as well as the emotional support to get them through the court process. And finally, to provide the resources for this court to operate efficiently.
When we do meet someone who has had another court experience and they talk to us after their hearing in elder court and tell us what a difference it has made, that the judge makes them feel comfortable with what's going on.
From the litigants, I also know that it is effective because they know they've been heard, they know they've been heard by someone who cares, and they get to participate in fashioning the resolution. That may be in the criminal context, it may be in the restraining order context, whatever it is, I try to get their input into what it is that they want as the outcome.
The Orange County Superior Court has the Civil Electronic Legal File, otherwise known as Civil ELF Electronic Docket. And this is a user-friendly interface for judges and staff to gain access to court documents.
We've been imaging our civil documents for a decade now. We knew we wanted to move into a paper-on-demand environment. We didn't want to keep paper files in our civil. Complex civil, unlimited, limited, small claims.
The court made a decision to make the electronic record the official record of the court, so it eliminated the need for us to maintain and store paper. That turned into significant cost savings for us.
ELF provides a place where research attorneys can view many documents all in one place. They can get so much information from one screen.
Basically, from a judge perspective, what we asked for was that you would have a calendar printed, and on the calendar you'd have the case number, and all you had to do was click on the case number, and then the entire electronic file would appear.
I can plan ahead by looking at the calendar in electronic legal file. I can view the cases, all of the images. I can prepare my workup and upload it into ELF for the judicial officer's review.
That gives us, in reverse chronological order, in electronic format, with basically a table of contents, it replaces the paper file. All you have to do is scroll down the left side of the screen, and you can find any document that you want. You can see who filed it, but all you have to do is click on it, and the document opens.
And I can come in the morning and pull up a screen that represents my entire calendar. That day, this week, next month, next year, it doesn't matter. I have complete access to all of the information in all of my cases.
We began seeing a lot of veterans coming through the criminal justice system for a variety of reasons. And in my mental health court, I actually had a few veterans that we were treating. And one of those veterans ended up overdosing and dying, and we felt that that was probably as a result of untreated PTSD. So after that occurred, I became determined to see if we could set up a special court where we would deal with issues surrounding combat. So it would be specifically for combat veterans, whether they were from the Vietnam War or more recent wars, who were suffering from PTSD, traumatic brain injury, substance abuse, or other psychological issues as a direct result of their service.
Most of these veterans are high-functioning, except that, again, the biggest problem they have would be reintegrating themselves back into society.
We see strictly combat veterans, and they're a unique group because combat veterans, unlike other veterans, I mean, other veterans are also very special, but combat veterans, they've seen a lot, they're dealing with a lot more things. They just have so many treatment needs that to put in a regular court, all of those needs aren't going to be addressed for them. Having them here, there's a certain camaraderie they feel. Our whole team understands what they're dealing with, and we're able to link them to the services that they need at the VA.
The most important player in the Veterans Court is the Veterans Administration.
She monitors their treatment program that they are required to follow when they are placed in this program.
Graduation is a really big thing. It's a time for them to just kind of soak in all the hard work that they've done. That's the day that they bring their family. They're here to celebrate the fact that they really did do everything needed to do to get their life back together, to be a productive member of society, to give back.
Long time, it's become evident to me that we waste a huge amount of resources just in paper and time alone. And in working on another project, it occurred to me that we could create a digitized writ system and eliminate much of the paperwork and just the volume of materials moving around.
What we've done on a normal basis as clerks is actually provide the necessary copies to process it. And that means taking a normal writ, which average size could be about 200 pages, is the average size of any petitions that are filed, and making copies, making three volumes for us, the court, to use locally, and making an extra volume to be sent off to the Attorney General's office.
Many of our writs of habeas corpus were, you know, several hundred pages long in terms of the copies that had to be made. They would be moved into the writ conference on Thursday morning. We would vote. Orders would go out on Friday.
With the RIP program, what we actually did was eliminate the copying of that and actually scanning whatever petition has been filed, let it have been 7 pages or let it be over 600 pages.
Being able to work anywhere, anytime, you know, I've had situations where I've had to be out of the court and I'm able to continue working as if I were here. I don't need to carry physical writs anymore. And if I finish one, I can just move on to the next one, keep working. That as soon as I close that document, it is essentially transported and becomes part of the system. If they have questions or concerns, they can put that out in the shared comments section. And I know up front that they have that kind of concern. I'm not surprised when I go to conference.
Memo is prepared on the writ, and the judges vote. They agree. A writ that's prepared on Monday now has an order that goes out Monday afternoon or Tuesday, as opposed to on Friday. We've eliminated all of the paper and significantly saved staff and judicial time.
The old way of preparing a transcript is that you did everything manually. You would disassemble the file, and you would have to number the pages with what was called a bait stamp, create an index, both chronological and alphabetical, then you would have to copy them.
For a clerk's designation, what an appellant can request, it could be upwards of at least up to 6 volumes for a clerk's transcript.
With TAP, we can just go ahead and submit the pages of the file that they want into Fortis, where you scan them into the computer. And basically, we title the pages in a system, and then the computer will number them for you and create your index and your title page.
You can scan any document in any order that you find it in the file, place it right back into the file, and TAP will go in, and it organizes it for you in date order. And then it will do the indexing and the bait stamping for you.
TAP revolutionizes the way that we do business in courts. It allows us to create a digitized court record and a court file. It allows us to create a digitized clerk's transcript for purposes of the Court of Appeal. It takes, for example, a clerk's transcript that normally might take 10 hours to prepare. We can do it now, in terms of the assembly, in about a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
The program is very efficient. We're starting to use it for other types of appeals, not just civil unlimited appeals, but we're starting to use it with some of our juvenile appeals, which has cut down dramatically the amount of time that we spend with the paper, with the files.
The workload in the appellate departments of the superior courts will be cut down at least by half in the civil division, and in more complex areas such as juvenile, we expect that the workload's going to be reduced by about 75%.
Seeing these again, I continue to be amazed at how creative the courts are. And people have asked me, well, with all the budget cuts, are people still doing this stuff? And the answer is, of course. And, you know, necessity really is the mother of invention, and we've got some great inventions here. This bait stamp thing, one of the things is, you know, if they leave something out of the clerk's transcript, for those who've ever done this, you have to go and bait, you have to snowpake all the bait stamp numbers out and restamp it instead of just having the computer renumber it in an instant. That was one example. And one of the other questions that's been asked to me about the awards is, well, I thought we already gave awards to elder courts. Well, we have given an award in the past, but this one's different. And the difference between this elder court and the other elder courts is it does criminal, civil, restraining order. It does every kind of case, including trials. Most of those other ones dealt with just one aspect. And the same thing is true with the Veterans Court. We've been asked, don't you have Veterans Courts? Well, there's only one specifically for combat veterans with very, very specific needs. And so the courts have been really creative. And what we're handing out now is our low-budget, black-and-white version of our semi-annual report on innovations in the California courts. The color version is on the Internet, but... But this brochure does describe the CLEPS Award winners. Didra Benedict from the Executive Programs is sitting next to me here. She's the staff for the CLEPS program, and we couldn't do anything without her, and I want to acknowledge that. And so I think you can all be very proud of the programs that the council has encouraged for the last 20 years. This is the 20th anniversary of the CLEPS Awards, and over that period of time there have been 170 awards. And in the final version of this report, we will list past award recipients, including, I believe, a list of every single one of them, so you'll know all of the innovations. And one final comment, you know, some of the things that courts do today that everybody considers are just, oh, of course they do that. Those were creative innovations in the second and third and fifth years of the CLEPS program. And the other thing is that many of those things started with one court and have spread throughout the state. I mean, that remarkable check managing operation in San Bernardino, we couldn't believe it was true when we heard about it, that they took 16 people and made them four and processed all of the checks for the whole huge county and courts all over the county. So you can be very proud. There's really a remarkable accomplishments of the California courts.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Well, thank you, Deirdre. Thank you, Justice Roby. You make us proud by bringing us these programs that we can see, and it inspires us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Before we conclude our business meeting, two matters. And the first is, at our lunch break, we had the opportunity to recognize members who are leaving council who served their three-year terms. And we weren't able to put it on the record, so to speak, but I want to name them and extend my heartfelt thanks for the years of hard work and, I would say, graciousness and ability to buffet the winds that have happened here on the last 3 years. And so they are Judge Keith Davis, Judge Kevin Enright, Judge Winifred Young Smith, Mr. Joel Miliband, Mr. James Penrod, Mr. Michael Roddy. Thank you for your service. We will always remember you, and there's a committee waiting there. And we close our session in memoriam, in remembrance of our judicial colleagues who have recently deceased. And I know that we are all deeply saddened by the news of the death of Presiding Justice David Sills that we heard about on Tuesday. Justice Sills, as you know, served the courts for over 20 years. He served the public and his country with distinction. And our thoughts are with his family, Mrs. Sills, and his court family who worked with him for so many, many years. Other judicial colleagues recently deceased are Judge Thomas Duffy, retired, Superior Court of California, County of San Diego. Judge Philip Jones, retired, Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. Judge James Marion, Superior Court of California, County of Orange. Judge James Pierce, retired, Municipal Court of California, Los Cerritos. We honor them for their service to the courts and to the people of California. Thank you. Safe trip.